Hey, what's going on, my friends? Welcome to another episode of the Awaken Life podcast. My name is Victor, and I'm here with my lovely wife, who's not quite ready, Patty.
Hey, guys.
And we are coming to you on a Sunday morning early in our backyard before the kids wake up, and we wanted to share this with you. This is a podcast we actually recorded a few days ago, but we were not satisfied. So here we are giving it another go. It's an important topic, which is why we wanted to make sure to do it not perfectly, but as best we could. And the topic is how vulnerability can completely transform your life. Your relationships, obviously. Your business, maybe, if you have a business. Your life situation, your health. There's all these things, these important parts of the human life that can be negatively impacted by a lack of vulnerability. But of course, the challenging thing is to be vulnerable. It takes a tremendous amount of courage. Many of us have been burned before by people, by life, and all of us probably have a pretty good case as to why it doesn't make sense to be vulnerable. And yet, regardless of that vulnerability, we have found to be a huge, a very common solution to some of life's biggest problems.
Vulnerability heals the world.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
No, I just feel like it's an important thing to be able to do. And I feel like it's one of the more difficult things for most people to really do, to show up and be vulnerable and open. And, you know, when you're vulnerable, that's when your heart is open, I feel.
Yeah.
And so that's what the world needs, is more open-hearted people.
Yeah. So what we're going to do today is we're going to get into some of the challenges we've had. You know, me and Patty are not like perfectly vulnerable people. And yet we've come a long way. And we're going to talk a little bit about like our struggles, you might say, and also some of the things that have helped us become more vulnerable. And then some of like the crazy, like life-changing, almost immediate benefits that can sometimes result when you do allow yourself to be vulnerable. Now, what I'll just start with, you know, it took me a long time to even become aware of the fact that I had like these walls up. One insight came to me during when I was learning to become a breathwork practitioner. We were practicing these various like strategies, you know, when working with clients. And the one in particular at the time was how to like console and be there for someone going through a deep process. Someone sitting right there in front of you, you know, crying or yelling or really releasing. We were taught these strategies for how to like be there for them and how to let them know you're there. You know, you kind of like you put your hand on their head very gently, or you kind of rub their shoulder, you know, light things like that. And, you know, we were partnered off and we were just practicing. And when it was my turn to like almost just pretend to be going through a process, because it wasn't even real, it was just like we were just practicing. I remember this lady was there and she was like, "It's okay, Victor," you know, kind of doing all the things we were taught. And the moment her hand like touched my shoulder, I felt my body clench up. And I thought to myself, I remember thinking like, "Oh, that's strange," because this is something that it's nice. It's nice to have someone there caring for you. It's nice to have someone looking out for you. It's nice to have someone holding space and concerned about you. But the moment someone did that, I was blocking them out. I was resisting their niceness, basically, for lack of a better term.
Kindness is better.
Kindness and compassion. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, why am I doing that? Where else am I doing that in my life? And that kind of opened up the floodgates, and I realized there was many areas I've been kind of blocking out affection from other people. And you know, we played this out a lot in our relationship. You know, we would go back and forth with our various resistances and things like that. And so the beginning of the journey, I'd say for us, was awareness. And then what helped, you shared a story a minute ago I'd love you to talk about, babe, about like, just how far back the origin of these like heart walls can stem. You shared this really, really fitting story, I felt, that can, you know, maybe even help other people kind of think about their own life and where they may have began this pattern.
Yeah. So I'm going to go way back. A few years ago, I had taken myself through what I call now a rose immersion. And, you know, at the beginning, I said authenticity, or I mean, I said, what did I say? Vulnerability heals the world.
Heals the universe, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It heals everything. And that understanding came to me during this rose immersion. And I was going through a process, and I had this memory come up. I must have been under the age of 5. And we, you know, as good American folks do, we went to church every Sunday. And there was a man there that made me feel very uncomfortable, just the way he looked at me. And it made me feel very uncomfortable. And I eventually said to my mom, like, I don't like that guy. I don't want to be around him, or whatever I said. And my mom looked at me and said, oh, he's such a nice man. He's such a nice man. Why do you not like him? And I didn't, at the time, I didn't know how to explain it. I was a little young child. But in that moment, I realized, as, you know, as an adult looking back, I realized in that moment that that little blip of my life affected me greatly. It made me not trust myself and my own intuition. And it also made me feel like I couldn't trust her. I was like confused and conflicted because she was my mom, but yet she wasn't supporting my feelings of being uncomfortable. And, you know, that little moment I hadn't thought about in years, but it greatly affected me to the point where I just stopped trusting her, really, trusting her ability to protect me and to understand me also. And, you know, as a young kid, when you grow up with a parent that you feel you can't trust, that changes your whole world perspective. If I can't trust my mom, then who can I trust?
Yeah. And one of the biggest things I've seen play the way I've seen how that has played out in your life with friendships, and I think one of the key things I've observed, and I think you would agree, is that lack of trust in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've had a few different, like almost identical types of relationship dynamics, mm-hmm. where sort of out of the blue, someone you were close with like betrayed you in a very, very like obvious, significant, out of the blue sort of way. But each time you kind of saw it coming. You had your own intuition mm-hmm. about it, but perhaps because when you were younger, you like stopped trusting that, you just ignored it and almost had the same voice and reasoning of your mom, like, oh, you how dare you question them? They're mm-hmm. so, they're, you know, they would never do that.
Right.
Even though there were times where you knew you mm-hmm. had a very clear intuition.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it always came not immediately before, but it was that little voice that was like, that's something you should pay attention to. That's a interesting way to put that particular thing. And then immediately my mom's voice, right, would be like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think you're just being paranoid. You're just being paranoid. That's what would come up. Like, they would never do that to you.
Yeah. And a lot of times what comes to mind is that book we read, The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene.
Love that book.
Yeah, it's a great book. He talks about like Freudian slips and how, you know, how sometimes someone will act, you know, as we will label out of character. Oh, that's unlike them. I'm surprised that they reacted that way or whatever. But what Robert Greene says a lot of times is that is actually more germane to their character
mm-hmm.
and what you're seeing predominantly is like this persona. Mm-hmm. And what you saw is a crack in that and a greater glimpse into a more of a clear reality of kind of that person's nature and that person's character. And he said, you'd always be wise to kind of not just gloss that over, because yeah. many times that says a lot more than how they, you know, put on.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree with that.
But it's tough. You know, I think a lot of, I know what I'm thinking of right now is like one of the first times that comes to mind when I was burned. I think when we're like younger, we're not really expecting people to like be like that. You know, mm-hmm. when we're like really young and innocent and pure, it's almost like we have this kind of like outlook, like everyone's like that. So it can kind of really catch you off guard the first time you catch a look from a man, as mm-hmm. you did. You know, for me, I remember in sixth grade, I became boyfriend and girlfriend with this one girl, this beautiful girl. And she had like dated like all my friends at the time. So it was like, you know, a sixth grade thing. So I was going out with her officially for like 3 or 4 days. And then one of my friends came up and said, you know what, I got to tell you something, Vic. I just talked to so-and-so and this so, you know, your girlfriend, she's going to the mall on the weekends and she's flirting with other guys. And I remember being in absolute disbelief. I thought, no way, that is not true. And then sure enough, I talked to some of her actual friends and they were like, yep, she is. And it was like obviously kind of like a simple thing, but I was shocked. I was in shock. I was like, I was so happy to be like going out with this person who I was so fond of. And then it was like a dagger in the chest to come to find.
Yeah.
She was flirting with other guys at the mall or whatever. But at that point, kind of like you, it made me realize like, I can't trust myself. I didn't see this coming. Mm-hmm. This came as a shock to me now. And then that created this sort of like skepticism in like my future female relationships that even bled into our marriage.
Oh no, we had to navigate that a little bit.
But the point is, it's like, you know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to really like harm our trust in people mm-hmm. and give us our own version of that justification to be skeptical, to be on guard. But what we have found and what many people have found, that can create a lot of problems in our life. Mm-hmm. How many crazy problems have we had over our, like, you know, our marriage as a result of these like older wounds and our own resistances to being vulnerable and feeling safe with each other?
So many.
Yeah, countless.
We couldn't even count them all.
No, so many arguments, so many just missed opportunities, times where we could have really enjoyed each other's presence, but whether it was you or whether it was me, we like had our guard up for no real logical reason, some wound of the past, you know?
Yeah, and it didn't make sense, you know, after all the time to still be like navigating some of those things. And then it gave us the understanding of okay, well, we still need some work here, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, you know, as you mentioned, babe, I've sort of had relationships be a theme where I've like trusted someone and then been burned, right? Or betrayed or whatever you want to call it. And each time was extremely painful for me. You saw like the process that I would go through and just saw, I can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then, but coming out of that, I learned so much about myself. I had the opportunity to really just go in deep and get to the bottom of the rabbit hole, if you will, right? And just kind of see what's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, each time, as painful as it was so much growth for me internally and so much maturity also, just navigating each scenario in the best way that I could. And watching my evolution through each process.
Yeah.
You know? And so I say all that just to say, you know, it is difficult And I don't even like to use that word. I like to use challenging, but it is, I'm going to use it. It's difficult sometimes to be vulnerable and to trust and to allow yourself that moment of potential pain, right? Because that's, for me, that's what it was. If I'm vulnerable and I trust people, then it will be painful for me, right? Like the emotions will be painful. And so it's like, well, I don't want to have that. I would just try to avoid it. But from that pain comes growth and more self-awareness and healing and possibility, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way it works is the resistance is an attempt to create some semblance of certainty. Like if I have these walls up, if I don't open up, if I don't get too close with this person, then I can ensure I won't be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like an unrealistic expectation. And I think, you know, a lot of people, and maybe even us for a long time, where we're, I'll be vulnerable was like the mindset once I know it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is you can't know it's safe. That there mm-hmm. is always going to be a risk because you're dealing with life. You're dealing with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always that risk. And what I found is the solution isn't necessarily like to be extremely like scrutinizing of every situation in person and calculate whether it's the degree of safety. It's more so to consider the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can open up, I can be vulnerable and safe, but lonely, but miss out on love, miss out on growth, mm-hmm. miss out on human connection. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond human connection. What keeps coming to mind is just running a business, being a creator, being an artist. You know, I'm on social media, for example. I shared these podcasts as an example of that, you know, and I coach people who are wanting to do the exact same thing. And I see this same exact block manifest in that. It turns into like, you know, when you're sharing your work, whether you're an Instagram influencer or an actual artist or a musician or whatever, there's that risk. There's that, it takes vulnerability to create good content. If in fact, I see it where people, when they first start, they have their walls up. They're like very disconnected from their social media presence. You know, some people, they won't be on camera for a while, for example. And then when they are on camera, they'll share from a very like analytical place, not really letting their personality come in for the same fear. They don't want to get a negative comment. Is like getting burned. It's like getting hurt. It's like getting betrayed. And it stings, and it can sting. But those walls will make it so like you're not going to really reach your potential. You're not going to grow on social media. You're not going to grow your business. You're not going to have people really know you. So therefore, they're not going to buy from you.
Mm-hmm.
So
and also, you know, they're not going to trust you as much.
Yeah.
You know, so they may not even, yeah, like they may be like, oh, like it, for me personally, if I'm watching somebody, which I don't, but if I'm watching someone on YouTube and they're giving advice and they got walls up and I can see that, I'm just like, on to the next.
Yeah.
Not even going to waste my time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these walls, they can block your business from growing.
Mm-hmm.
They can block your relationships. They
from
can block
growing.
Even you from receiving abundance and goodness from life in general, mm-hmm. because you are holding on to this illusion of certainty. But that begs a question. How do you then, Vic and Patty, you know, what's the solution? How do you actually become vulnerable? And we don't have a clean answer. In my experience, it just takes acceptance that it is a risk, mm-hmm. that we might get hurt. You know, I could put out this podcast, for example, and somebody might send me an email saying, you know what, I do not like what you said. I don't like Patty's tone. I don't like this or that. And it might bother me, but that's still not a reason not to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's kind of like, there's no other option, right? Because I'm a Leo, right? We lead with our heart, and that's just one of the characteristics, right? And leading with your heart means being vulnerable. And for me, knowing that it's important to be vulnerable and open to help myself, but also to help others, like it's almost like an obligation. It's like, okay, if I get hurt, then I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that to happen. I'm not inviting that in. I'm inviting goodness and grace and joy. And also I'm here for it.
Yeah. And also, I've also learned there's a balance to that. I don't think the solution is just to be vulnerable all the time. I think it is good and wise to be discerning mm-hmm. and to be like realistic. You know, another keep coming to mind, like the entrepreneurs I work with, you know, sometimes they're vulnerable and they'll share their big dreams with people who they kind of know aren't going to be necessarily supportive, mm-hmm. that they're going to respond with like skepticism, like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a YouTuber? So I'm not necessarily advocating just being like almost like I think being a little discerning has its place.
Well, of course. Okay. So just as like a little caveat, I wasn't saying like, I'm just going to be vulnerable all the time. Like,
no, I'm saying even what I was saying.
Yeah. Before. But there's a time and a place, right? Yes. Yeah. And discernment. So I was not aware of the difference between discernment and judgment. And maybe I'm just not smart. I don't know. But I asked someone, well, what's the difference between discernment and judgment? And the person I asked, she said, discernment is, or judgment is, you're wrong and I'm right. And discernment is, let's agree to disagree. Right? Or you have your perspective and I have mine, right? And it's that acceptance piece, right? Of like, we may have different opinions or different understandings, but it's okay, right? So having that discernment of observing the scenario, the person, the situation, does it call for being vulnerable and not judgment and not that like inner voice that tells you your intuition is off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of our coach we had, Doug. He would talk about, he's got his like really close friends, his friends that he can really, you know, be himself around. And then he's got his, what he called his fishing buddies. People that he can get along with just fine, but he's not going to really open up fully with them. He's mm-hmm. not going to share his deepest, darkest fears or his big wild dreams, because he just knows that that's not the type of like personality and temperament that is going to, it's just not smart. It's about that discernment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also good to do, is not to just look for like this one size fits all solution for vulnerability. It's like, it takes mm-hmm. discernment, but it also takes courage. At some point you will have to like take a leap, mm-hmm. you know, and a risk, even with people who you really on paper seem very trustworthy. It's still a risk technically, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you never know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, one of the things I want to share about is, just some of the benefits that can occur when you do allow yourself to be vulnerable. And what comes to mind, I just talked to my buddy just yesterday, in fact, and for a while he was struggling in certain areas of his life and his business, and he found himself in just a lot of different situations and relationship dynamics that were just off. And basically he said he's had like a lot of pretty much one vulnerable conversation after the other all week with some of the people on his team, his siblings, like everybody in his life pretty much. And he said, Vic, these were very uncomfortable conversations. These were not easy, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. but he feels free. His whole life is literally falling into harmony and into balance, because he kind of pushed himself and had the courage to have these difficult, vulnerable conversations. And that's what I found that to be the result oftentimes. Like for me, you know, I wanted to be on YouTube And then because I was so unwilling to put myself out there, I sort of like put that idea on the shelf for 6 full years. And then I finally did it. And it wasn't because I became fearless or because I knew it would be safe. It was, I just finally decided to say, screw it. I'm going to just do it. And that vulnerability is what allowed me to grow on YouTube. In fact, ironically, when I started, I had five or six different channels. And the one channel that took off was the one channel I didn't expect to take off. It was more like a personal diary, just my The Dorodo YouTube channel. But because I had no expectation of it growing, it was literally just for myself. So I was completely free and unfiltered. That ironically is the one that really resonated with people and grew. So, you know, being vulnerable is so powerful. Even another example, as just yesterday, I did a session where I have a lot of different things going on, obviously. But one of the things I do is I train coaches. I certify coaches in how to coach people. And I explain to them that like one of the most powerful things you can do as a coach is what? Be vulnerable, Be honest. Because a lot of times one of their greatest fears, a new coach, is not knowing the answer, saying the wrong thing, not being perfect. Mm-hmm. And I say, it's okay. It's okay to be imperfect. It's okay to say, I don't know. Be vulnerable. Be honest. Why? Because then the client's going to trust you way more.
Yeah. I know. I always say that, actually. It's like, it's okay not to know.
Yeah.
It's okay not to know. And when I don't know something, I just say, I'm not sure about that. I don't have the knowledge on that particular topic. And then I'll either do some research or I won't, depending on what it is. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think helps people to trust me.
Absolutely.
You know, because I'm not pretending like I have all the answers.
Right.
And for me personally, if somebody is presenting themselves as someone who has all the answers, I'm immediately going to question their information immediately.
Yeah,
because the information's always unfolding, right? It's like with nutrition. It's like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, eggs were bad for you. Then eggs were good for you. And then they're bad for you again. And they're just the whites are good. You know, it's like the information's always unfolding.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's always more to learn. And so why wouldn't it be okay to say, I just don't know the answer to that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it is okay. And that's just another example of just like how vulnerability can be very helpful and transformative. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't have a way to make it easy. In fact, what comes to mind, maybe we'll close in a minute here, is I was watching or listening to in my car this Eckhart Tolle talk, and a woman came on and said, Eckhart, how do I get over the fear of betrayal? And she even said the word betrayal in this very intense way.
Intense word too.
And Eckhart was like, oh, wow. He said, just think about that word for a second. He said, betrayal. It's like this really heavy, deep, scary, ugly sort of word if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, here's the reality is you really can't fully trust people. And now that's a very bleak thing to say. You can't trust people. But he said, because most people have an element of unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean to just hole up your whole life.
Yeah.
It means, you know, to accept that risk. And also one of the things he was saying is like he helped the woman sort of separate the story from what happened. Like when you were a little kid, what happened? You notice a look from a guy that you didn't like. That's what happened. But from that became this story that I don't trust people at all. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my mom. That's like the story. And a lot of times what stops us from being vulnerable isn't like the fact that we've been burned, but the fact that we've sort of like identified with the pain and we've created these stories around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer isn't to like find a way to avoid it, because you can't. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with life. We never know. An earthquake could just hit us right at any moment. We don't know that. There's no certainty that we're safe in this moment. We're not certain that we're safe in our relationship. We just don't know. I don't know what's going on in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the alternative is living a very lonely, limited life, basically. Mm-hmm. So the solution we found is just plain old courage.
Yeah.
Courage to be vulnerable in spite of the risk.
And it's also like the perspective of like, oh, well, what if I get hurt? Right? But what if you experience love beyond measures?
Yeah.
Right? What if you experience a depth in friendship that you've never felt before? So instead of saying, what if something bad happens? It's like, well, what if something good happens? What if something beautiful happens?
Yeah, if you're going to project some scenario into the future, at least go all out and be well-rounded.
Yeah, yeah. Let it be good.
Yeah, Tony Robbins always talks about that. He talks about that when it comes to like your parents. He's like, if you're going to hate your parents for all the things they did to you, you better hate them for all the good things they did to you as well. Because, you know, with every painful experience or every, you know, bad thing your parents did to you, there's an element of growth. There's a counterbalance to that, an expansion element of it. So it's just life.
Yeah.
Just rolling with life, man. But anyway, we wanted just to kind of share this podcast, again, not as like some end-all, be-all solution, but just to bring the discussion out of the table. Because I know as we have gone forth in our own spiritual growth journey, life has almost demanded increasing levels of vulnerability, mm-hmm. like pretty much nonstop. And every single time, initially, it's tough when you're stretching beyond where you've been thus far. But even with the sometimes challenging, you know, stings from life and people, the overall result has always been expansion and positivity and an increased connection with love and ourselves and life itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, anything else, babe? I think we're good.
No, I think we did good.
Yeah. All right.
So let's go out there and just be vulnerable.
Yes.
To the best of our ability with discernment.
Discernment, yes. And listen, you know, one of the things Patty and I have been doing lately is every month we do a free online transformation ceremony. In fact, last Saturday, like 8 days ago, we did a breathwork ceremony with about 200 people. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was beautiful.
So good.
This next month, depending on when you hear this, it'll be like April of this year, I'm going to be doing a past life regression, a guided past life regression. And then the following, Patty has her own version of breathwork. But nonetheless, once a month, we're gathering with people completely for free online to transform in the modalities that we are trained in and are comfortable sharing. So if you want to be a part of that, whether you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or wherever, below in the description, there'll be a link. And that's how you can become notified of the next ceremony. And also we'll send you the Zoom link and you're welcome to join. You're welcome to bring a friend, partner, whatever. And we'd love to see you there. So with that said, you all have an amazing day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.